for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 26th, 1996. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida is the teacher of the morning.
Well, Brother George is going to come and teach this morning. And to those of you who like fish, he brought a whole big box of about 50 pounds of fish already filleted. And Joel and George and the kitchen's cook it up for us. We'll have a fish fry Saturday evening for supper. And so, okay, Brother George Wingate.
You know, the bad guy years ago out in the West didn't carry one gun, he carried two. Isn't that right? I'm a two-gunner this morning. I need two guys to come and hand these things out here for me, whoever would like to. I want everybody in here to have a copy of this. Now, I will not get through all of this teaching this morning. So however the Lord leads Brother Glenn and however many more times that I'm up here, we'll continue until we do get through it. Or you can take the notes home and really dig in and do some studying. Oh, hallelujah. I'm very, very excited about doing this. Brother Glenn told me I was going to be speaking this morning about, 10 o'clock or 10:30 last night. I got a 3 or 4 hours sleep, and I woke up very early, just ready to go. And I've been sort of chafing at the bit ever since, Hallelujah. The first thing I want us to do this morning is turn to Psalms 19. Now, all of you, did you have enough? I need one. Now, all of you walk on the bottom of your feet, right? And it don't hurt a bit, does it? Doesn't hurt a bit. Well, now, if I start walking on the top of them a little bit, don't holler. Say, praise the Lord. Okay? Glory to God. Psalm 19, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Does our soul need converting? What is the soul? The mind, the emotions, the intellect, the ego, the id, the brain. Okay? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Are we just simple people wanting to know more about God, or are we proud and haughty and lofty and think that we don't need God? I would say that we're simple. That's the reason we're here. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I've seen some rejoicing here this morning. Hallelujah. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The eyes are the mirrors of the soul. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, if all of this is true, and it is, and God is so much smarter than we are, then doesn't it stand to reason that we ought to let Him talk to us every spare moment that we have? So when you go home, turn the television off, bust it up, throw it out, do something with it. Because that one-eyed monster, that boob tube, that idiot box will just absolutely, it'll brainwash you into make you thinking all kinds of thoughts that really are not yours. They come right out of the pit of hell. The mind is the battleground. And as a person thinks, I didn't hear you. Well, who wants you to think less than who you are? Well, are you what you think or what God says you are? Come on now. And somebody will say, well, Brother George, I don't feel like it. Well, who said you had to go by feelings? Feelings and faith are in opposition to each other. Faith says, I have it. Feeling say, oh, Boy, the devil sure has given me a hard time, Jim. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Boy, he sure has given me a hard time. And the devil, all the demons of hell are standing back. They say, yay, man, come on, say it some more. Oh, yes. Boy, you've given us legal right to really put it on you. Why don't we say, as Christians, as the battle rages and you're marching on, why don't we say, boy, I'm giving the devil a hard time? What do you mean? Well, all of these ill feelings that I have and all of this stuff that the enemy is trying to put on me, I'm just fighting it off, and man, I'm taking the sword of the Spirit, and I'm cutting him to pieces, and I'm saying, sorry about that devil, I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Slap him around. He needs it. Hallelujah. All right, now, I want you to turn your sheet of paper to the side that says, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. I'm going to read it, follow along. Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, and heard. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word. Not I, but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I, but Christ, to wipe the fallen tear. Not I, but Christ, to lift the weary burden. Not I, but Christ, to hush away all fear. Christ, only Christ, no idle word e'er falling. Christ, only Christ, no needless bustling sound. Christ, only Christ, no self-important bearing. Christ, only Christ, no trace of I be found. Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and health to be. Christ, only Christ, my spirit, soul, and body. Christ, only Christ, live then thy life in me. Christ, only Christ, ere long will fill my vision. Glory excelling soon, full soon I'll see. Christ, only Christ, my every wish fulfilling. Christ, only Christ, my all in all to be. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Now write that over when you get home, and where it says Christ, put Jesus. Not I, but Jesus, be honored, loved, exalted. It isn't the name Christ that's above every name. The Bible says that Jesus is the name above every name. Jesus is above the name fear. Or any other negative word that you can come up with it, Jesus is above it. Yeah. Glory to God. Get to the place to where you'll say this. I do not talk to God about my problem. I talk to my problem about God. Maybe I need to say that again. I do not talk to God about my problem. He knows about it already. I talk to my problem about God. Your problem, whatever it might be, is a spiritual problem. Somewhere, I don't care what kind of disease, what kind of ailment, what kind of idiosyncrasy you have, somewhere there's a spirit of some kind lurking. Hallelujah. If you can find it in the Bible where that the Bible says that, well, okay, you can put the devil over here, and you can put God over here, and you can just go ahead and do your own thing. I want you to show it to me. I haven't found it. It says you are the servant of whom you serve. That's your position. You're a servant of either God or the devil. I mean, that's it. Plain and simple. And let me step on your toes now. Go ahead and say ouch right now if you want to. Anytime you confess the problem as Christians, anytime you are going by feelings rather than by the Word of God and the Spirit, you are carnally minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So anytime you don't have peace, you're carnally minded. Hallelujah. Getting awfully quiet in here. Here's another little something you might want to jot down. Prayer is useless when truth is neglected. Prayer is truth. Is useless. Prayer is useless when truth is neglected. I got to get going here. I'll be sharing all these goodies. Won't even get into this. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. All right. What do you really want out of your walk with God? Is your walk with God being developed so that you will miss the lake of fire? Is your walk with God being developed so that you can make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, let's say? Is your walk with God being developed to help others? Boy, it's quiet. God is bringing you out to bring you in. He's bringing you out of that worldly system, out of darkness, out of mind control, to bring you into Himself. Into Himself. You see, when I look at you, I don't see you. Now, that sounds funny, doesn't it? I'm looking right at you, Peggy, and I say, I don't see you. What's the matter with you, George? You blind? You are a spiritual being. You have a soul, and you live in a body. You are a tripartite being. I don't see the real you. God is bringing us out of ourselves, the natural person, so that we can do what Paul said in Romans 12, be transformed, made over by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus came and walked this earth and manifested Himself in the flesh as Almighty God. Isn't that right? And Philip said, show us the Father. And the words that came out of the physical being of Jesus were, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you've not known me? He that hath seen me. Now here's where we see Jesus so closely united with the Father. The words of the man Jesus, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. Isn't that right? Then Jesus later said, what I've done, you will do. So Jesus has made a way for us to become imitators, shall I say, twins of Himself. So now that doesn't mean where our outward appearance is going to change. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This outer tabernacle is going to just gradually get older. We ought to come to a place to where it'll take 300, 400, 500, 600 years to do it. But it's going to gradually get older. But the inner man should get younger and stronger and stronger and stronger, so that when the enemy sees us, he sees Jesus. Like the little missionary in Africa. The witch doctors got together in the town and they all had a powwow, and the demon spirits there said, okay, we'll get out and get rid of him. We'll just gang up and kill him. So they got all worked up and they're going down the street there and they're going to head for his little old hut and they're going to kill him. And all of a sudden, coming across, coming down and turning the corner there was a ball of light. Now that's all they saw. Just a ball of bright light. And it was so bright, it began to blind them. And they started backing up, and it kept on coming. And they started, kept on, and pretty soon they scattered and ran in every direction. Well, when that ball of light come on down and you got looked at it from behind, it was just that little missionary. Just that little missionary walking down the street with the anointing. Yeah. Hallelujah. So as we become more and more Christ-like, as we walk in that anointing and grow and mature into that anointing, then we can measure our likeness to Jesus by our sensitivity to the pain and trials of others. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of love, right? God help us to come to that place to where we will walk in such unity with God that when a pain of some kind hits us, immediately we'll say, okay, God, who do I pray for? Instead of, oh my, somebody help me. Me, 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 me. Had this happen to me one time. First time I ever spoke here. How many years ago? 17, 18 years ago. We went to a little Pentecostal church somewhere over here. And three or four of us went. And there were two brothers there that were pastors. And we go through a little praise and worship. And one of the pastors points, he says, you, pointing to me. And he says, I want you to come up here and share the word this morning. And thank God that I stay ready. So when I got up there and started sharing the word, all of a sudden, pain hit me in this arm and shoulder and radiated, and boy, oh boy, did I hurt. Well, now I could did one of two things. I did the right thing. I stopped right then in the middle of what I was saying, and I said, somebody in here is on the verge of a heart attack right now. You've really been having some trouble. Man sitting right on the front row, oh, that's me. I said, all right, come up here right now. God wants to heal you. I didn't wait. Okay, brother, just wait till the end of the service now. You know, No, right then. The man came up there, laid hands on him, prayed for him, went back and sat down. The next day, he went out. I found out later. He loaded his own truck, a semi-flatbed. He loaded that thing himself with 100-pound sacks of whatever, took it out and delivered it, and was fine from then on. God totally healed him. But you know what? I was sore in that area for 3 days. 3 days. Didn't bother me. Didn't bother me. I knew exactly what was going on. So God wants us to come to a place of being able to bear another's burden and so fulfill the law of love. Hallelujah. And that's perhaps one of the greater needs concerning deliverance. Is to get us free from the lies and the deceptions of the devil so that we can become sensitive to the pains and trials and needs of others. Hallelujah. All right, now turn your paper over and it says 10 laws of spiritual warfare. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. I love for the Word of God to speak for itself. Amen. Our second scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Very short verse. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, sight is a sense, right? So we walk by faith, not by the senses. And everywhere the Bible, in your Bibles, most of them would say flesh. If you just write in their senses, it'll give you a better understanding of it. The flesh in itself can't do anything without it gets a signal from up here. I can stand here all day and just think, foot, jump up there and move. Come on now, foot. And it ain't going to go nowhere. It's got to get that signal, the right one that puts it in movement, or it won't move. Same thing with my hand. Okay, hand, stick up in the air now and praise the Lord. Now I can talk to it all day long, it won't move. I got to put some action to it. See? We walk by faith, not by sight. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm gonna put that into operation right now. Right now in my mind, there's a glass of water. And that little girl that just got up back there, she's getting to be a mighty big gal, her name's Laura. I've sort of adopted her as a granddaughter. And Laura, would you go and get me a glass of water? Now, as far as I'm concerned, that glass of water is sitting right here. Why? Because I've got faith that she's going to do it. Plain and simple. Well, is God who He says He is? Well, if I can ask Laura to go get a glass of water, and she does it, and I can believe for that, can I not ask God for something and believe that He's going to do it? Doesn't the Word of God say that God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent? Hath He not said it, and will He not do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many, many times, deliverance is not a one-time situation. Deliverance is an ongoing walk with God. I've been sold out to the Lord for right at 30 years. If I've had deliverance once, I've had it 1,000 times. Why? Because I'm a spiritual being, first and foremost. My spirit is joined to God. Me, the real me, is joined to God. But this flesh and blood tabernacle, this outer tabernacle, it can't inherit the kingdom of God. So then what can slip in and try to take it away from me, the spiritual person, and inherit it or rule it? Demons. Demons. I've got 5 gates that a spirit or spirits can enter into at given moments. And all it takes is just an instant, and one of those little gremlins is sitting back there waiting for an opportunity to put forth his dirty work. A thought is a spirit, and a spirit is a thought. No more, no less. And any thought that operates in your mind as fear in any respect of the devil comes from the devil. Doesn't come from God. There is no fear in God. As we learn to operate in the spirit rather than the senses, little by little, we take the ground away from and we learn how not to allow the enemy to gain access and to manipulate and to control our thinking. But we don't grow up and mature spiritually overnight. You don't get saved today and are a mature person spiritually tomorrow. It don't work. We grow spiritually just like those little ones. All of us at one time were infants. We've got a little infant back there right now, precious little bitty boy. One day he'll be a big tall man. But he's not going to be a big tall man tomorrow or next week or next month. We grow spiritually the same way, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Okay? All right, so we walk by faith, not by sight. Now let's turn to Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Is there many ways to please God? No. Faith. What is faith? Well, I just said, it's Hebrews 11:1, but it's something else. Faith is believing. You can't separate the two of them. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So if you want your faith to grow, just start meditating and studying and pondering the word. If you want your faith to shrink and you want to become spiritually malnourished, then feed the senses. Feed the senses in whatever way. And the biggest thief of all today for us is that little... Turn the knobs. Hey, honey, I want to talk... Oh, wait a minute! Go on! Dad's sitting there, immersed, controlled... And the little child comes in, hey, Daddy, shut up, kid, get out of here, I'm listening to something. I knew a man one time that would take his 3 children, little fellas, hard for them to sit still, attention span is very short. He'd take those 3 little children and slam them down in front of the television and dare them to say a word. They couldn't laugh. They couldn't say anything to each other. If any one of them misopened his mouth, whap, shut up! Years ago, 35 years ago, I worked as a letter carrier for the post office, and on my route was an old evangelist. He'd been working for the Lord 40-some years. And he and I would, when he was there, he and I would get a little short few minutes conversation. I had to stay on a run. And one day he got on the subject of television. I don't remember how it all came about, but I remember him saying this. He said, I've got a bunch of kids, And he said, I've told every one of them, if they put one of them boxes in their house, that's the last time I'll ever come to see them. I don't want nothing to do with it. I just don't want nothing to do with it, period. And if they want to have fellowship with me, I want to have fellowship with God, and I'm going to have fellowship with God. And if they want to have fellowship with the devil and his works and the world and all that, fine. But I'm not going to do it. In fact, the Word of God says that we are to come out from amongst them and be separate unto yourselves, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. The Word of God says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for the things that are done are what? Wrong. We want the blessings of God, we want the anointing of God, but we don't want to sell out to God and just say, hey God, here I am. Do with me whatever you want. The Word of God says in Isaiah 26:3, it says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind on me every once in a while. Oh, you mean I made a mistake there, David? I'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind stayed upon me. Now, wait a minute, God. After all, you know, I have my rights. Now, if I want to do such and such, why, after all, God, I am a human being, you know. God says, really? God says, I thought you were crucified with Christ. If you were crucified with Christ, then you're dead. And if you've been resurrected with Christ, then you're no longer of the world. You have ascended and are seated in the heavenlies with Him. God is absolutely... I said a while ago, I woke up early this morning chafing at the bit. And sometimes I get a mental picture of God just, you know, like in a little fellowship like this. He's just standing back saying, yeah, come on, let's go. Come on. Come on. There's more. Come on. It's better. It's getting better. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Hallelujah. You are what God says you are, not what your head says. You are what God says you are. Well, if that's the truth, and it is, then wouldn't it be beneficial to search the Word to find out who you are? Wouldn't it be beneficial to study to show yourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth? That brings the anointing. And the anointing breaks the yoke. What yoke? That yoke of worry, that yoke of fear, that yoke of doubt, that yoke of any negative thing whatever, breaks it. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's John 3:36. When Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He has put within your possession the power, the authority to walk victorious, not defeated. But now it's up to you and I to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, which simply means that we're going to study, meditate, ponder the Word of God, and we're going to grasp everything that's in there to formulate our armor, to formulate that helmet, to formulate that sword, and we're going to cut the devil to pieces. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law, but that which is through... But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yes, God, you said it. Bumper sticker says, God said it. That settles it, and I believe it. Well, we can just leave that settling out of there. We can say, God said it, and I believe it. We get that settling in there, and then we go around trying to settle it. Well, did God say that? Well, or is it really settled? Jim, are you sure that God said that? Is that really the way it was? You better believe it. If God said it, that's it. Believe it. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:9, the Apostle Paul says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive those things you pray for, and you shall have them. It's got to be the forgiveness there. We know about that. But now, when are we going to receive the things we pray for? When we see it manifested? Or when we pray? Now, what is prayer? Is that just simply always talking to God? No, prayer is communication. And the more we let God talk to us, the less we're going to have to talk to Him about. We won't be like the Israelites out in the wilderness wandering around. Well, God, did you say so-and-so? He said, well, yeah, I did. It's there written. Oh, but I'm too busy. I haven't got time to really read all that stuff. Isn't it a wonder we walk around full of problems and troubles and woes, wandering around the wilderness? Right here, this is the wilderness today. This is the Jericho walls today. And if you want those walls to come down, those walls of all those little idiosyncrasies of whatever, then how did the walls of Jericho fall? When the people obeyed God and marched around those walls, and then at the last they shouted. Thank God for Brother Ken saying that he was dancing before the Lord and shouting. Things happen. There was a ministry years ago in South Chard, England. A lot of people were going to the ministry and they were being prayed for, but they weren't getting their healing and deliverance and so on. One night they all got together and they started singing, and the praise and the worship was anointed of God. And they started on one chorus magnifying, I don't remember what it was, but they sang it and sang it and sang it and sang it and sang it. And it just seemed like they were never going to stop. Just that one song being lifted to God. And after a while, the glory of God just come down on that place like a cloud, and every problem in that congregation that night was solved. There was no altar call. There was nobody going back and laying any hands. Just praise and worship. Well, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Well, let's go on here a little bit. Galatians, well, we just read Galatians 3:11, okay? Everything we do is by faith first, then by fact. Faith first. Faith first. I was talking to someone this morning, and I said, we are to call those things which are not as if they were. I'm not going to ask a question this in for any show, but I'm going to make a statement. A lot of us have, in the natural, families and friends that are unsaved. Okay? What are we to do in the Spirit as Spirit Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, as anointed of God? We're to call those things which are not as if they were. So we're not to say that they're not saved. Who did Jesus die for when He went to the cross? Just us? Everybody. When Jesus died and was crucified on the cross, He purchased with His life and His blood every person on the face of the earth, even the past, the present, and the future. Amen. That blood is sufficient. Amen. And everybody out there is saved by virtue of the crucifixion of Jesus. They just don't know it. That's right. And it's up to you and I that have accepted and tasted the good word of God, and we're joyous about it. It's up to us to say, hey, I know a better way. You're in the kingdom of darkness. You're in for troubles. If you haven't got them now, you're going to have them. You want to get out of that? I tell you a kingdom that you can get into where it'll be real good. The world out there is on a road going straight to destruction. What would you do if you were going on a trip and you inadvertently got off on the wrong road, and you stop somewhere and you're talking and you say, well, you know, maybe you stopped at a filling station for gas. And you got to talking and you said, hey, I'm going to so-and-so. And the person looks at you and says, well, you're on the wrong road. What do you mean? Well, that road doesn't go to where you think it's going. Well, listen here, I know what I'm doing. I'm going. Time for us to take stock and learn how to do what the Word says to do. Hallelujah. Claim your number one, claim your authority over Satan by faith. By faith. If God gives to you power over the devil, and he does, amen? That's you, the spiritual being. Well, you know how to talk. Now, too long, we've been on the devil's side with all the murmuring and complaining and everything else. Why not get on God's side now? And when those thoughts are rampaging through our mind, why don't we begin to make the right confession? And in making the right confession, we begin to have the possession. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. Well, you don't look like it. Who said I had to look like it? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I have been redeemed. I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Oh, no, you're not. You're sitting right here in this chair, and that, right there, see? You're, what do you mean? That's the natural man talking. That's the senses talking. We're going to become spirit-ruled people, not sense-ruled people. So we just begin to build up a reservoir. And then when the enemy comes and starts slapping them fiery darts, they just bounce right off. I know I've been there. My mind used to be like a porcupine with all of that garbage. But little by little, I began to formulate and say the right things, and I don't have that trouble anymore with all of that stuff. I got the peace of God that passes all understanding, and I'm going to keep it, too. Amen. All right. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. That's way back there after Hebrews. And verse 18. And it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You want to grow spiritually, then stop worrying, stop being concerned, stop being fretful and anxious about self. The more that you do for others, the more you get self out of the way and do for others, the more you're going to grow spiritually. Best way in the world to crucify the old man is just start doing everything you can for somebody else. The Lord had me years ago go down to Tampa. My first charismatic conference back in about 1967 was in Tampa at a Methodist church. We met some people. Later the Lord sent me back down there to stay with a precious old lady. Her husband had died. He was a completed Jew. And he had me to help someone else scrape and paint her house, scrub the floors. Just had me to be a servant. Jesus was a servant, wasn't he? I'm not any better than him. If he washed the disciples' feet, well, I'm not any better than him. What a blessing I got. In fact, I got so blessed till that lady had saved her husband's Bibles, and this is one of them right here, printed in 1922. Getting old and brittle. So we're just going to grow old together. Thank you, Lord. My little children, love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Oh, hallelujah. In Ezekiel 33:31, it says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Time is a borrowed trust from eternity. And once it's gone, it's gone. You can't call it back. You can't sit and wring your hands, oh, I knew I should have done so-and-so yesterday, come back, it won't work. It's gone. How much time, if it was all added up and put together, how much time have we right here in this little congregation wasted? How many years would it add up to? Wasted, where we could have helped someone, told somebody about Jesus, helped bear somebody's burden. How much time is wasted? And fellowship with the world is wasted time, folks. My Bible says, and yours does too, that our God is a jealous God. And when we are having communion and fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, the world, the flesh, the devil, it's just like a man's wife taking off and saying, okay, honey, I'm going to go sleep with John tonight. Fooey on you. There is such a thing as spiritual adultery. And God doesn't like it one bit. And yet His mercy and His grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, if only God would just, I ask God to give us a revelation, an insight, a deeper look into the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. What a price to pay for me. Colossians 2:15. Glory to God. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Who did that? Jesus. All right? And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And then Jesus said, okay, what I've done, you will do. So it's up to us to spoil the principalities and powers and to make a show of them openly. Now that tells me that, okay, Brother Glenn so-and-so is in need of some deliverance. Would you get a couple of people and take them off to this little back room? Now don't tell me to do that. It says He made a show of them openly. I tell you what, it gives me great delight and joy to see, to speak the word of faith and say, devil, your time is up. Get out. Hallelujah. One of the biggest blessings I ever had, and back in 1973 when the Lord let me go to the Philippines on a 10-day missionary venture, and primarily, I believe, to minister deliverance to a 15-year-old girl that demons had totally possessed and controlled, and she was stronger than any three or four men. What she would do, they had to keep her wrist tied with wire and keep her somehow tied up in a loft of a building, a rope run over a ceiling joist and down, and that wire reeved in it, and there she is hanging there. Just can't sit down, not just got to stand. And she'd wriggle and get out of that thing irregardless, run into somebody's house, and just ransack and tear it to pieces. We hadn't been there but a day, and her brother came. I'd sent a tape earlier, and a message earlier, and God had blessed. Her brother came and said, Brother George, my sister need help. So anyhow, to make a long story short, we went to where she was at. When I walked in, that little gal, she began to bend. Father, Father. I said, you devil, shut up in Jesus' name. And when I did, she wilted down on the floor. I sat right down beside her, put her head in my lap. I looked into her eyes. Her eyes were not with color. There was no white. It was all black. The whole eye was black. But the anointing was there. As I laid my hand on the forehead of that little girl, I said, you power of hell, in the name of Jesus, I break your power and control in Jesus' name, and I command you to leave her presence now. Put her down. Said to those Filipino pastors that was there, the four of them, and one other American, I said, all right, come on over here. Got over in a little huddle, and I said, now God said if we say it and believe it, we'll have it. And they're right. I said, you go tell the people in this little village, Kababaran, 4,000 people, I said, spread the word that Jesus Christ set this girl free right then. They did. That night, I'm the one that was scheduled to speak, and I'm standing up there on that platform, and here comes this brother with his sister walking in. She's a little old demure thing, 15 years old, and not as big as a little 10-year-old here. Come walking in. He walked up. I stopped, and everything got quiet, and he walked up to the platform. He looked up, and he said, Brother George, my sister. I reached down and put my fingers under her chin, lifted her up, and looked into her eyes, and they had color. I said, can you say Jesus is your Lord? Say it this way. Can you say Jesus is my Lord? She got a big old smile on her face. She said, Jesus, my Lord. That place just erupted with praise and worship to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where are we at? Colossians 2:15. All right. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Let's go to another one quickly. Times are fleeting by. Luke 11:22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. I want us to look at that this way. Okay? When a stronger than he, the stronger is Jesus, shall come upon him, when Jesus comes upon whoever, Jesus is going to overcome. Isn't that right? Jesus doesn't get overcome, he overcomes. And he taketh, Jesus taketh from him the demon spirits and whoever, what? All his armor. What is the main armor that the devil has to try to keep control of you? It's simply making you think that it's you instead of what's really going on. Well, I've got this, and I've got that, and I got so-and-so, and I am so fearful, and I am so worried. No, you're not. You're deceived, and you're giving a place to the devil with your mouth. Stop saying those kind of things. And begin to say, I'm free in Jesus. The victory's mine in Jesus. And everything that's up there that doesn't line up with the Word of God is going to get out and leave. Oh, glory to God. I'm getting more excited by the minute. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Glory. Victory. I said victory. Oh, come on, y'all can do better than that. Victory! What did Brother Ken say this morning?
Oh, praise the Lord. Why, yeah, Brother George.
Hey, God's not nervous. He's not deaf. He don't care how much noise you make. You can shout to your top of your voice. But I'll tell you what happens as a spirit-filled Christian, when you're shouting unto God from your spirit man, the gates of hell tremble. Hallelujah. Some years ago, my wife and I were in Jefferson City, Missouri. We stayed in a house where there's about 10 or 12 young people that were coming out from under the control of drugs and all of that kind of stuff. We were there about a week. Ah, devil, you're not going to steal my voice. I am going to talk. Amen. Hallelujah. We were there about a week. My head began to feel like a washtub. I said to my wife this particular morning, I said, honey, we're going to get away from here for a while, and we're going to for a ride, and we're going to praise and worship the Lord. So we got in the car, and we started driving off. And immediately I started saying, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. I thank you for victory. Ah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. My wife starts yawning. And we just kept it up. And for an hour and a half, we drove, sang, praised, and yawned. We drove, sang, praise, and yawned. And we come back there, I must have been free of 150 devils. The air smelled fresher, the grass looked greener, and the next day we were asked to leave the place. But you know, about 2 years later, I got a letter from the leader of that place apologizing and asking forgiveness for telling us to go. He said, I know now it wasn't us. We were listening to the wrong voices. Listening to wrong thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. Learning how to be spiritual warriors. Do you know you're in the army? Do you know you're in training to be more than a conqueror?
Yes.
Do you know that you're to bring to pass what the Word of God says, that one will put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000? There is no retreat for the army of God. There's no such a word. I don't like the people when they say, well, we're going to go on a retreat. If I hear it, I'm saying, wait a minute, why don't you say advance? I don't go on any retreats. Haven't been retreating for 30 years. I'm going ahead.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ben, what time am I supposed to stop? About 2 o'clock? Uh-oh. Hallelujah. Well, we're fasting today, so we don't need a lunch break. We're fasting and feasting. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now, folks, you know it's going to be mighty rough down on earth. Now, folks, y'all, you got to be careful now, because that devil's running around like a roaring lion, and he's just liable to devour you. No, he said, all power. How much? How much? Well, that means there's none left. Isn't that right? If he's got it all, there's none left. He said, all power is given unto me. The only power the devil has is what you and I give him. That's all he's got is what you and I give him through this thing right here. All power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. And in the earth. All power. And then Jesus said, I give to you power over all the power of the enemy. Which simply means that God has given to you, a spiritual being, power over yourself. You don't have to be ruled and reigned over by this thing. Paul said, let not sin, demons, reign, rule in your mortal body. That you would obey them, it, whatever, in the lust of themselves. In other words, stop listening to what your head says and listen to what God's head says. And if God's head says whatever, that's it. The Lord says, I'm a blessing. Well, I don't feel like it. Who said you had to feel like it? The Lord said, I'm a blessing, then I am. If the Lord said, I'm a light, then I am. If the Lord said, I'm more than a conqueror, then I am. If the Lord says, I'm to love everybody, then I will. Very quickly, I want to give you a few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. That's when he was given that power. Then in Luke 10:22, he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Does the Son want to reveal the Father to us? Absolutely. In fact, Jesus said in John 14:20, he said, at that day, talking about the day of Pentecost and right on down till now, he said, at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Tell you what, sometime, one picture is worth 1,000 words. Get 3 little glasses that look just alike, and put a little bit of water in each one of them. And let one of those glasses represent the Father, let one of them represent Jesus, and let the other one represent you. Then follow through. It says, Jesus said, at that day you will know that I am in the Father. Take the one that represents Jesus and pour it in the other one. And then he said, and the Father in me. Take that and pour it back again. And then he said, and you in me. Take the one that represents you and pour it in the other one. And then I challenge you to lift it up and see if you can see. Now, okay, that part's me. You won't be able to do it. If it's just water, it's going to mix. And that's the way that God wants us to be in him. So again, when we come face to face with the enemy, the devil can't see whether it's God or you. But he sure does do his utmost to trip us up through the sense realm. I was out in California some years ago. I was going somewhere to minister, and I had to ride a Greyhound bus all the way I had to get to this place. So I got my daughter to take me down to the bus station there in this little town. And right in the middle of the waiting area, there's this turnaround book rack that's full of books, and you turn them around. So I've got a curious nature, so I walk up there, and I turn it around, and I'm glancing at these books, and all of a sudden this one catches my eye. It didn't look too bad on the outside. But I picked it up and I did it like this. I picked it up and said, you know, my heavens above, look at that. Nothing but pornography. Right here in the bus station, I said. And I closed it, put the thing back. I don't remember if I told the people that, you know, that was terrible to have that in there. I don't remember. But I do know this. It took me 2 weeks of praying and fasting to get those mental images out of my mind. Everywhere I went, when I went on to minister wherever I had to go, I'm trying to minister to the people in those flashes. You know, flashbacks, we'll call them. The devil was bombarding my mind with those mental images. Finally, I got rid of it. Fought it off. Hallelujah. It don't take but just like that, just an instant, and you've invited a spirit in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we know what Mark 16 says. It says, go ye into all the world, cast out devils, and heal the sick, and so on. Mark 16, 17, and so on. All right, let's turn to one more. Ephesians 1. We're going to look at verses 20 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Well, we're going back up to verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Cease not to give thanks. Spiritual warfare. Deliverance. Giving thanks unto God. God inhabits the praises of his people. Giving thanks is praise. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. God has made us fearfully and wonderfully so that if I'm a painter, I can have a pan of paint down here and a roller, and I can be singing and praising and worshiping God in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and at the same time use my mind, coordinate everything, and I can, glory to God, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, that looks so good. I just bless you. I thank you, Lord. See? Drive down the road. Pray. That car is my prayer closet. Boy, I like to just get off of my car and just start worshiping and praising God and just go on. Cease not that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Do you think God's big enough and good enough and merciful enough and full of grace enough to do what he said there? Give to you wisdom and all of that good stuff? Well, he did. He's already did it. He's already did it, and all you have to do is receive it. All you've got to do is receive it. Well, how do I receive it? Lord, I receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And God says, okay, now, you want to develop it? Study. Ponder. Meditate. Eat the Word. Feast on the Word. The eyes, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has an inheritance in us. That inheritance depends upon how much of you, as you become God inside minded. The more that you are transformed and renewed by the study of the Word, and the more of God you get in you from the Word, by the Word, through the Word, then the inheritance that God's got in you will grow. Become more and more. And the next thing you know, you become Christ-like. Or like Jesus. He that's joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. One, not two spirits, one spirit. So when I look at you, I don't just I don't see you, really, the spiritual being. But in the spirit, I not only see you, I see Jesus. Sparkle in the eyes. Joy on the face. Peace on the countenance. The fruit of the spirit being manifested. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Well, we just said that he has all power. That's enough to do whatever he wants to do. So if I pray, if I just say what David said, O God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I think he's got enough power to do that. O God, let the meditation of my heart, mind, be acceptable in your sight. He'll do it. He'll do it. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Set him, if any man be in Christ, he's what? If any man be in Christ, he's in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ has been, by the Father, set in the heavenly places, so that's where you're at. Hey, you're kings and priests unto God. Hey, you're seated in heavenly places this morning. You're seated in the royalty of Almighty God. Why, you're in the kingly court. Glory to God. Why, right over there is Prince Bill and Princess Peggy. And right next to them is Princess Mildred and Prince Jim. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, far above. Far above. Say that with me. Far above. Don't let me hear you say anymore. Oh, boy. The devil sure give me a hard time. The devil's not far above. So if you're far above and he's far below, there's some separation there. But again now, that's not the natural man. That's you, the spiritual person. And he's always reaching up trying to pull you down by grabbing a hold of your mind. Hey, you up there. Let me give you this fiery dart. It's a dart of worry. Now, you know, you've got to worry a little bit. But the Bible says you're to cast all of your cares on the Lord. So you're going to say to that little spirit of worry, about what? Well, he'll remind you of something in the past. And you'll say, well, hey, I don't remember that. I cast that care on the Lord. Now, he's got it. If you want to talk to somebody about that, go talk to God. I don't got it no more. I don't even know what you're talking about. All thoughts that come to your mind concerning things of the past that are in any way negative, they come from the devil. They don't come from God. So don't listen to it. Just don't listen to it. If you have to, take your Bible, which is called the sword of the Spirit, and wave it at him. Get out of here. Get out of here. My mother, bless her heart, the enemy would get kind of stirring up and things would be a little hectic and my mother would grab the broom. You know, we didn't have no vacuum cleaner, nothing back yonder when I was a little kid. She'd grab the broom. Get out of here, devil. Come on, get out of here. She'd just sweep him right out the door. Hallelujah. All right, let's finish this up here now. How did I get over to Ephesians? To Galatians. I blew the page. Okay. Here we go. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So whatever comes to you in your little world next week, next month, remember that Jesus has given you power and authority over it. and hath put all things under his feet, that means they're under your feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So what happens? Now, he's the head, we're the body. What happens if I get outside and I'm walking around barefooted and all of a sudden I stop with my foot on an ant bed and all of a sudden I begin to feel some bites? Well, do I point my finger down at that foot and say, "You sorry foot, you shouldn't have gotten that ant bed. Now, you know, just go on, suffer it out, you'll know better." No, both of these hands. Oh, man, get off of there. See? Now, that's the way we ought to be toward each other. If one's overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one. Don't beat him down. Don't condemn him. Restore such a one in a spirit of meekness and grace. But we can't do that until we begin to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not each other. The devil's our enemy. Demons of millions of myriads of kinds. That's our enemy. This is the battleground. Conquer your mind and you've conquered the devil. If you don't conquer your mind, the devil will conquer you. Stand to your feet, please. To be continued. Oh, glory. I want you to say with me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, for giving your life, so that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh God, in Jesus' name, give me the ability to take you at your word. Give me the power, the unction, the anointing to speak boldly the word of God and to drive out anything and everything that is not of you. Oh God, I'm a needy person. I need your help. I call upon you in Jesus' name, and I receive what I have asked for, and I count it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just praise and worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.